Let's pray one more time, all right? Father, we just thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for your people. I thank you for the Spirit of the Lord in this place, Lord, to speak into our lives today. I pray, Father, that you help me. Lord, as always, I ask that you'd help me, that you would direct me, Lord, as I speak this morning, that I would say only what you'd have me to say, and that you be glorified in it, and that your people be strengthened and blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, today we're beginning a new series called Hearing God. And during the next few weeks, that is my prayer that the Holy Spirit will guide us into truth in God's Word so that we can learn to hear Him more clearly, to hear Him every day in our lives. Can you imagine what it would be like as a parent if you talked to your children and they never talked to you? Now, some of you have teenagers, you don't have to imagine. Right? And wives, how would you like it if you talk to your husband and you just pour your heart out and you tell him about your day and all the things that you're concerned about and what's going on, and he doesn't say a word. He doesn't ever reply. But you know, that is exactly the relationship that a lot of believers have with the Lord. They talk to the Lord and they talk to the Lord. We call it prayer. And yet they don't really hear from God. I want you to know that is not the way that it's supposed to be. We need to know that God speaks. It's so important that we believe that He speaks. Amen. You know, the Bible says this about idols in Psalms 115, 4 and 5. It says, "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see." We should not pray like we're praying to an idol. Our God sees and He hears and He speaks. We need to know this. We need to believe this with all of our heart that He still speaks. Now, in Luke chapter 12, in the book of Hebrews, it says that He is addressing here the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. He's talking about us, amen? We're the church, right? And so to the church, in verse 25, He says this, "See that you do not refuse Him who speaks." Him who speaks. I want you to see those three words there in that verse. Him who speaks. Now, previously in this same chapter, he was talking about how God had spoken to, in times past, He had spoken to the Israelites. But now He's speaking to the church and He says, don't refuse Him who speaks. It's present tense that God speaks. For if they did not escape who refused Him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from Him who speaks, and there it is again, Him who speaks from heaven. Twice it tells us very plainly that our God speaks. And if you want to hear God, let me tell you, you got to believe that He speaks. It is unlikely that we will ever hear God in the busyness and the noise of life if we don't believe that He speaks. We won't ever even take the time to listen if we don't believe that He speaks. And I'm convinced that the more someone believes that He speaks, the more that they will sit and listen to hear Him speak. One man was having difficulty communicating with his wife as they were both getting a little older, and he decided that he would conduct a test. He got behind her across the room, and he said, "Can you hear me?" And he got no reply, so he moved a little closer. He said, "Can you hear me?" Still no reply. He tried a third time. He said, "Can you hear me?" No reply. Finally, he got right up in her ear, and he said, "Can you hear me?" She said, "Yes," for the fourth time. I got to tell you, listen, the communication problem is not on the Lord's end. It is us. If we're not hearing God, it's not because He doesn't speak. It's because we're not really listening. We're not hearing. And oh, how we need to learn to hear the voice of the Lord. But since the very beginning of time, God has been speaking. He created the universe by the words of His mouth. He said, and it was. You don't have to get very far into the Bible, just Genesis 2, 16, and we have record of God speaking to man. It says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." How did Adam know what he was supposed to do and not supposed to do? God spoke to him. I think God wants to speak to us so that we know what we're supposed to do, so we know what we're not supposed to do. But you know, even after the fall, even after Adam and Eve blew it, God still spoke to them. He comes looking for Adam in the garden. "Adam, where are you?" He asks him, he says, "Who told you that you were naked?" Now, some religious people, they think Adam's just, you know, one of those crazy people. He's having a conversation with himself. Well, that would be crazy if you're asking yourself, "Who told you you were naked?" And I'm going to take a little rabbit trail here. It's intentional. Don't get scared. It's intentional. I just want to address this morning. You know, the Lord asked Adam several questions. And some people think, they immediately draw the conclusion that God must not know everything, or He wouldn't have to ask. Listen, God knows everything. He asked Adam because He wants Adam to confess it. He wants to have a conversation with Adam about what happened. But it is certainly not because God doesn't know everything. It's amazing how people in our day and time will pull one phrase or one verse out of the Scripture and they draw all kinds of conclusions without considering the rest of Scripture. In fact, in John 21, Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And three times Peter says, "I love you." But the last time he says, "You know all things. You know that I love you." I mean, Peter was smart enough. This old fisherman, he had been with Jesus long enough. He was smart enough to know that if Jesus was asking him questions, it wasn't because Jesus didn't know the answer. And I'm just telling you, He knows everything. But He still speaks. All through the Scripture, He speaks. He spoke to Noah. How did Noah know that there was a flood coming? How did he know to build a boat? Because God told him. He didn't just tell him to build a big boat. He told him the specifications. He told him exactly how to do it. Abraham. God speaks to him and tells him to leave his people, his family, his land, everything that he'd ever known. He told him to get up and go, and he said, "I'll show you a place when we get there." And then he spoke to him. The Bible calls Abraham the friend of God. He had that kind of relationship with God. And God spoke to him about his descendants, that they would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. And we see God speaking to him and again and again. How about Joseph? God speaks to him in a dream. And that vision, that dream that God gave him, carried him through all of the difficult times to reach the destiny that God had for him. How about Moses? God speaks to him from a burning bush. Kind of reminds me a little bit of the old prank they used to do at Bible college where, you know, somebody was always hollering from behind the bushes telling somebody else to go to Africa. But I'm just telling you, just because you hear a voice, it may not be God. But then the Bible tells us that God spoke to Moses face to face as a man with his friend. And if you read the Scripture over and over and over, you will see this, that God spoke to Moses. You'll see that phrase, God spoke, the Lord spoke to Moses. The Lord spoke to Moses again and again and again and again. And all through the Old Testament, God speaks to the prophets. He speaks to great men like David. He speaks to ordinary people. But God speaks. We get to the New Testament, and of course, the most powerful example is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who said, I always say what he tells me to say. But we also see God speaking to the disciples, to the apostles, and to ordinary people. He spoke to Saul on the road to Damascus. Saul heard a voice, and it changed his life forever because the Lord spoke to him. Oh, how powerful it is when God truly speaks to us. It can change your life forever. Then the Lord spoke to another man, a disciple. His name was Ananias. I want to read this. It's Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 10. It says, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise, go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Here was not an apostle, but just a follower of Jesus, a disciple that the Lord spoke to. And you know, it's really interesting. What the Lord was telling him to do, it didn't make sense to him. It was not something he would have ever done in the natural. He needed a word from God. And the Lord spoke to him very clearly and gave him instructions what he was to do. In Acts chapter 10, Peter gets a vision of unclean animals, and the Lord tells him, rise, kill, and eat. It's such a strange vision to Peter. But the Lord is preparing him to go and share the gospel with a Gentile household for the very first time. And then in verse 19 of Acts chapter 10, it says, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, and I want you to remember that, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Remember, notice this, the Spirit said to him. Jesus had told them before, the one who is with you will be in you. And the same one, you see, Jesus, by his Spirit, he is in the believer. He lives on the inside of us, and he can speak to us at any time. He can give us direction. He can give us wisdom. He can help us to know what it is that we are supposed to do. But oh, how we need to know this. He speaks. Listen, he can speak to us through his word. He can speak in visions and dreams and by angels and prophecy and many other ways. But most often, he speaks as he did here with Peter. He speaks by his Spirit. But he speaks. You know, the Lord speaks throughout the Scripture. And he tells us, I, the Lord, change not. And yet religious people want to change God from a speaking God to a non-speaking God. They don't want a living Lord who speaks in their life, but rather a non-speaking God who will just be the silent partner, you know, provide the resources and will make all the decisions. But I'm telling you, you can't change God. He still speaks. And we need to believe that. We need to know that in our heart. It's one of the ways that we are created in the image of God, that he made us to speak. Now, I know that some people think that their dog can talk to them. And listen, you don't need to talk to me after the service. Please don't bring your dog and show me. I've seen it all. I don't need to see your dog make some weird noises where you're telling me, see, he said, I love you. Okay, that's fine. I've seen lots of animals, especially birds, who have been trained to repeat certain sounds, and it sounds like words. Let me tell you something. They don't know what they're saying. They don't know what words are. But it has become more socially acceptable in this generation to say my dog talks to me than to say God talks to me. Who's the crazy one? The living God of all the universe. Is he not allowed to speak to us? Are we not willing? Do we not desire to hear him speak to us? I know this weird religious culture, there's such an attitude against saying that you heard from God or that God spoke to you in some way. But oh, how we need to believe that he speaks so that we will be listening, so that we will be desiring to hear his voice. All through the Bible, from cover to cover, from Adam in the book of Genesis to John in the book of Revelation, God has spoken always. He has always spoken to his people. But now, in this generation, the majority of Christians don't really believe that God speaks to people. And consequently, they don't listen for the voice of God. And they think that people who say God spoke to them are just deceived. It's really changed in the last 50 or 60 years, dramatically. You can go back throughout church history. All the great men and women of God always said the Lord spoke to them. It has only been in the last 50 or 60 years that we've seen this huge shift, especially, I'm talking about in the body of Christ. I'm not talking about in a secular world where even the majority of Christians don't really believe that God speaks today. It used to not just be the church or mainstream Christianity or spirit-filled believers. It used to be that even the average American believed that God spoke to people. Let me just give you an example. There's a beautiful song that, well, it's probably been put in pretty much every hymnal that's been written in the last 100 years. It's called In the Garden. And in that beautiful song, it talks about how he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And it's such a beautiful song showing us and expressing that wonderful relationship that we can have with the Lord, where not only we pray and talk to him, but where he speaks to us and he communicates to us. That beautiful song in the 1950s became so popular, so mainstream, that Roy Rogers and Dell Evans recorded it. Tennessee Ernie Ford recorded it. Perry Como recorded it. And many others. Listen, these were not just church people. These were just Americans who were very popular at the time. Doris Day in the 60s recorded it on an album. Elvis Presley recorded it in the 60s on another album. Willie Nelson recorded it in the 70s. Glenn Campbell recorded it in the 80s. Johnny Cash recorded it at some point, although they didn't release it until after his death. But I'm just telling you that again and again and again, it was recorded by famous artists. Why? Because to say he walks with me and he talks with me, it used to not be weird. It used to just be being a believer. And I'm telling you, church, we need to realize what has happened to the culture of our day, where it has so influenced the church that even many Christians struggle to hear. And here, listen to me. If you don't believe he speaks, it makes it so hard to ever, ever hear from God. You got to know that God speaks. Why don't people think God speaks? Why do Christians have such a hard time believing God would speak to them? You know, the generation we live in has the mindset that anybody that thinks God speaks to them is a kook. Mainstream media has convinced a generation that only crazy people say God talks to me. I don't care. Crazy people drive cars. I'm still going to drive one. I just try to stay away from the crazies. And I'm still going to believe that God speaks to me, even though there are crazy people that say God speaks to me. What a trick of Satan. What a deception that he uses crazy religious people to get Bible-believing believers to somehow start thinking that, oh, well, I don't want to be part of that. No, we're not part of that. We're part of the men and women of the Word of God who hear from God and obey Him and live in all that God has for them. That's who we are. He speaks. If you have your Bible, go to John chapter 10. We're going to spend a few minutes there. John chapter 10, He speaks. It is part of the life of a believer, a follower of Jesus. We're going to begin reading in verse 2. John 10, verse 2. Jesus tells us, "He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice." The sheep hear his voice. Now, Jesus tells us later, "He is the good shepherd. We are his sheep." He says, "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Very powerful phrase here. He says, "He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." We follow Jesus. We hear his voice. You see, as a shepherd, he leads us. He leads us with his voice. He does not drive his people like cattle. We need to hear God's voice. Now, if you're saying this morning, "Well, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, I believe in Jesus, but I don't hear. Does that mean that I'm not really a sheep?" Don't listen to the voice of the enemy. What that means is that you need to learn to hear the shepherd's voice. And that's what this series is about. And it starts with this, with you knowing, believing that he speaks. Jesus says that we hear his voice and we follow him. Now, those three verses, he was speaking to the Jews that were standing there. But listen to what he says next that gets all the rest of us. It's in verse 16. Verse 16. He says, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd." One flock and one shepherd. Now here is a glimpse of how real unity comes in the body of Christ. It's when people really hear God. Now, I found that a lot of the time, hearing God becomes a source of contention and division because one says, "I heard this," and another says, "I heard that." I'm well aware of that problem. But what I'm talking about is when people truly do hear, they come together in unity. What we need is to hear from God more, and it brings the body together in unity. Verse 27 of that chapter, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep know my voice. We're supposed to have that kind of fellowship with him where we know when God is speaking to us. So how did it ever become so confusing and so controversial that God speaks? I think it's important we address that this morning. I think it will help us to move past some of those obstacles. But before I talk about it, I want to say one more time that it is not controversial in Scripture. It is crystal clear. It is cut and dried that God speaks. Amen. No controversy in the Scripture. And if our experience does not line up with the Scripture, it is our experience that needs to change. We're not going to change the Scripture or interpret the Scripture differently to match our experience. No, We want to keep learning. We want to keep growing. But why is it so controversial in our culture? First, the secular world has propagated this attitude that anything supernatural is make-believe. Everything, you know, we're people of reason, educated, smart people. We don't believe in miracles. We don't believe God heals. And we certainly don't believe God speaks to people. That's just weird. Only crazy people believe that. And, you know, you can watch the news, and almost always, if they show someone who says, God spoke to me, it's almost always some weird person who did some terrible thing. It is almost never somebody that's actually doing the work of the Lord and doing something that would glorify God. And you see movies and TV shows all the time where people who say God spoke to them, they're always portrayed as some nut job. And so many believers have been taken in by the deception that God doesn't talk to people anymore. Only crazy people think that God talks to them. You know, the statement, I'll believe it when I see it, just kind of sums it up in a non-believing world. And that transfers over into, well, I'll believe God speaks when I hear an audible voice. And the sad truth is that if that is someone's attitude, they probably will never hear the still small voice of God speak to them. I'm telling you, the culture we live in has set this tone to try to make believers feel like what we believe is all just fantasy and make-believe. Second, the reason people have a hard time with God speaking is dead religion. Dead religion says that he used to speak, but he doesn't speak anymore. It's all about the letter. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:6, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now I want you to understand, the Scriptures are very important. We're not belittling the Scripture in any way. But when people say, well, God spoke and he's already told us everything he's ever going to tell us, he doesn't speak anymore. They live by the letter of the law. It is only with the help of the Holy Spirit that we can even understand the things of God. It's only with the help of the Holy Spirit that we can be guided into truth in the Scripture. We can't really understand the truth of Scripture without the help of the Holy Spirit. Why are there 1,000 denominations? And you know what? It doesn't matter even if you get past the denominations. Why is it that every person and every little group, they have their own little set of beliefs and they think this is what the Bible teaches, and the next group says, no, this is what the Bible teaches, and the next group says, no, this is what the Bible teaches, and they're all certain that they are right and everybody else is wrong? Because without the help of the Holy Spirit, we just decide. And did you know you can make the Bible say just about anything? You can pull a verse here and there and build a teaching on it, and it sounds good, and it sounds like it's from the Bible, and yet it's so wrong. And religious people have been doing that for thousands of years. The Pharisees did it in Jesus' day. Did you know you never see in Scripture where the Pharisees said, the Lord spoke to me, but you see in the Scripture where the Lord Jesus said, I only say what he tells me to say. Which one do we want to follow? We want to hear from God. We don't want dead religion. And here's part of the issue with dead religion. It's much more comfortable to say, well, God has already spoken. He's given me his word. And so as long as I live my life within the bounds of God's word, he's given me a free will to do whatever I want. And this is exactly the way a lot of believers live their life. As long as I don't do one of the thou shalt not, as long as I do what the Bible tells me to do, well, then the rest of it is just all up to me. I just decide and I do what I want. And they don't have a living Lord who messes with their life. It's much more comfortable, much safer to believe in a dead religion where God no longer speaks. And I can choose my career. I can choose where I want to live and what house, what car. I can choose the spouse I want. I make all my own choices, because as long as I'm not violating the commands of God's word, I can do whatever I please. And you know the big problem with that? There's a way that seems right to a man, and the end of it is the way of death. That's what Proverbs says. You see, we can think that we've got it all figured out. We can, you know, we think we're educated. We think we're smart. We think we're wise. But without the help of the Holy Spirit, without God speaking to us, without God ordering our steps, we make such foolish decisions. We can't see down the road. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, much less years from now, but God does. And so often, people marry and they wish they didn't. And they take a career path or choice, or they leave a good job and go after another job, and it turns into a disaster. Are they within the moral law of God's word? But are they hearing God's voice? Are they really obeying God in their daily life? Are they really living a life to please the Lord? Dead religion keeps people from seeking to hear God's voice. You know, right in the middle of that passage we read from John chapter 10, where Jesus is talking about being the good shepherd and how that his sheep hear his voice, you need to be aware of this. This verse I want to give you, John 10 and 10, that verse is quoted all the time, and it's quoted separately out of that passage. But I want you to consider this morning that it is right in the heart of the passage where Jesus is talking about his sheep hearing his voice. And he says this, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." And I got to tell you that if you're going to have abundant life, you're going to be hearing Jesus' voice. If we're not doing that, it leaves us, we're on our own. It leaves us open to the thief to come in to steal, kill, and destroy. Oh, but when we hear God's voice and we obey Him, oh, how it leads us in a path of blessing. The path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. It's an abundant life as we serve the Lord. You know what? A lot of the time when God speaks, it's just like He did with Ananias. It'll be something that maybe isn't necessarily the way you thought it would have been. That's why you need to hear from God. Dead religion keeps people from hearing. The third reason hearing God has become so controversial is because there's so many that use and abuse the phrase, "the Lord told me." In fact, I want to be very specific about this. There's so many who think that they heard from God when it doesn't line up with Scripture. You see, I told you, we can't just live by the letter. We need the Spirit to understand God's Word. But neither can we just say, well, okay, I'm only just going to live by whatever I hear. Because so often the people that do that, what they hear doesn't line up. Whatever you hear from God has to line up with the whole counsel of God's Word. Listen to me, the whole counsel. Because almost always when somebody says they've heard from God and they're leading other people astray, they always have some verses that they stick on it. And it sounds good. Satan's been doing that for a very long time. He knows how to twist the Word of God to deceive people, and it's happening more in our generation than it has ever happened in history. Where people say, I got a word from the Lord, and it doesn't even line up with the Word of God. Now, it's been going on a very, very long time. It happened even in the early church. I read about a pagan priest who converted to Christianity in AD 155. He had these two prophetesses with him, and they claimed that anybody that would follow them were the spiritual elite. They claimed to have revelations about the end times and things that were going to happen. And the problem was is that their revelations didn't line up with the Scripture. And the church of that time renounced them, denounced them. That's happened all through history. There's always been people who claim to have special revelation that superseded the Word of God. Hadn't been that long ago. Many of you remember, 1993. Well, let me just tell the story this way. Young man named Vernon Howell was brought up in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He prayed, he read the Scriptures, but at some point he became dissatisfied with his Christian experience. And he claimed that God was guiding him to a deeper level of spirituality. He joined a radical offshoot of his denomination called the Branch Davidians, and he assumed the name of David Koresh. Now, most of you know the rest of the story. But he claimed he was God's appointed messenger. He claimed that God spoke to him, and he used that to manipulate people, to lead people astray. 1993 in Waco, Texas, federal agents took that compound. Several federal agents were killed, and all 83 people inside died because a man led others astray and manipulated people, saying, "The Lord told me." Now, here's the red flag. Anytime that it doesn't line up with the whole counsel of God's Word, it's not from God, because God never, never, never contradicts himself. Whatever he says will always line up with the whole counsel of God's Word. And we need to be very careful that when we hear from God, we know it lines up with the Scripture. And if you're going to listen to what somebody else says God said, I'm telling you, better know that it lines up with Scripture. But the fact that there have been these people throughout history, and even well-meaning people who said, "The Lord told me this," or "The Lord told me that," and then it turned out not to be God at all, I'm telling you, that has created such an obstacle that a lot of people are afraid to ever say, "The Lord spoke to me." But everything he says to us will line up with his Word. One of the common deceptions that causes people, spirit-filled people, good people, to think they've heard from God when they didn't, is they think their feelings are the same thing as hearing the Spirit. They are not. The thoughts that pop into your head, feelings, how your feet, listen. Feelings are not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is much deeper than that. It's much stronger than that. It's not just, "Oh, I feel this," or "I feel that," or "I had this thought." No, we need to be careful. We need to realize that when God speaks to us, it is deep down on the inside. It's described this way. It's a knowing. It's not just a feeling. And so many people have been led astray. And I got to tell you, I don't know if you can honestly say you've missed God before. I can tell you, I've missed God. I'm good at it. Well, that's scary to some of you. Well, I just got to tell you, I think it's a lot scarier when leaders say they've never missed God. But I know that when I have missed God, it almost always it was because my feelings and my own carnal thoughts got in the way. If we want to hear God, we need to always stay humble. I want to tell you something. God doesn't work through pride. And he doesn't use the proud. He resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. Pride goes before No, let me say it right. It gets quoted wrong all the time. I'm going to say it right, all right? Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. One time I was pastoring a church and had a worship leader who was, I guess you would say, he was very passionate about the people worshiping. And at one point, he got very frustrated for, I guess it went on for several weeks, but it kind of came to a climax one service when he was really frustrated with the people not worshiping, and he just stopped and through gritted teeth, he said, "What's the matter with you people?" And it grieved me, and I knew that, you know, that the frustration had gotten the best of him. And so during the week, I decided that I should meet with him and talk with him. And I started talking to him about the things that he said. And I said, you know, I don't think that you should address the congregation that way. You just need to lead, and some will follow and some won't, but that doesn't help. And he said, "I don't say anything but what God tells me to say." And he said it in just that tone of voice. And I said, "Well, I understand what you're saying, but you know what? We all miss God sometimes." And he said, "I don't." And I just got to tell you that if you get the attitude where you say, "Well, God told me," you're wrong. And pride, spiritual, religious pride, is the worst kind. We need to always stay humble before the Lord. And when we get to that place where, if you ever get to that place where you're saying, "Well, the Lord told me," it's time for you to pack it up and go back to prayer. Because God doesn't work that way. He doesn't use that kind of an attitude. We need to be humble before the Lord. You know, the Lord speaks. I believe He speaks to every believer that will listen. And you know, it's so evident throughout the Scripture. It was one time when God was using Moses so mightily as a great leader, but his sister, she says, "Doesn't the Lord speak to us also?" And you know what? What she said was right. God did speak to her. She was a prophetess. But it was the attitude of her heart that was so wrong, and the Lord judged her for the attitude of her heart. So we need to always be humble and keep our hearts right before the Lord and allow Him. You see, when we're humble, we're teachable. When we're humble, we can hear. It's when we're proud that we miss what God is saying. Oh, how we need to always stay humble. Realize when you do miss it, that God still loves you. And that, listen, just because you miss God in some way, that doesn't mean that you can't hear God. It just means you hadn't arrived yet. There's only one who never missed God. Amen. And the rest of us, listen, we're just learning. We're doing the best we can, but we're going to keep learning. That's what this series is about. Because let me tell you something. Jesus wants this kind of relationship with you. Revelation 3:20, "I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." That is an intimate, close fellowship. "I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." That's what He wants. Oh, that's what we want, church. I want you to stand with me. I'd like for our prayer partners to come. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, for those who have struggled, oh, because of all of these other influences. I pray, Father, that this morning, that the truth of Your Word that You speak, Lord, that it will just cut right through all of that to the heart. And Lord, bring truth, bring clarity, bring deliverance, that Your truth sets free in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for those that don't really know You. I pray they would come into a personal relationship with You today. And I pray, Father, that we as a people will be a hearing people and know that You're speaking. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen. Amen. We're going to dismiss our service in just a few minutes, but I want to give you the opportunity to come for prayer. And listen, first and foremost, if you don't really have a real relationship with Jesus, I'm not talking about if you've ever believed in Him. I'm talking about, have you ever turned your life over to Him? Have you ever really invited Him to be the Lord of your life? Jesus wants a closeness with you. And I just encourage you to come for prayer this morning. Some of you, you've had that in the past, but you haven't been taking time for the Lord. You've just kind of put the Lord aside. It's time for you to renew that relationship, that fellowship, that closeness with Him. And some of you here this morning, I know there's such great battles that take place in the mind about this issue of God speaking to us. If you're struggling with this area, I want to encourage you to come for prayer as well. God can help you to tear down that old stronghold and begin to hear His voice. But whatever your prayer request might be, I just encourage you to go ahead and come for prayer. We're just going to pray and worship for a few minutes. If you need prayer, you come.